Turn with me over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 1. That's the coffee chapter, yes, Hebrews. And we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 1. When you get there, say, I'm there. Verse 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. But he has in these last days, say last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. I want to talk to you tonight about the word of his power. The word of his power. We talked about Christ meaning the anointed one. And that the anointing is the power of God. The anointed one and his anointing. And we see that the Spirit of God is the distributor of that power. And so when the anointing comes upon you as a born-again believer, you can release that power. The power that, or the anointing that comes on you is not for you. It's for you to bless somebody else. So we would lay hands on somebody or just proclaim and speak God's healing over their body. And they are the recipient, if they are the recipient. People have to agree with God's word and agree that they're going to receive. That's why at Healing and Miracle Services, we teach the word first, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So I don't know the condition of the hearts. Many people may come in just hoping and a praying and just a wishing that they'd get healed. And maybe this is my night. And so I go to the word and I show them, yes, it is your night. The only way you're going to get healed is if you get healed right now in the present tense. You can't ask God, heal me next Thursday. If you want to be healed next Thursday, ask him next Thursday when he's the great I am. And then you can partake of his presence right then. He's not God gonna be. He's God right now. And he's the great I am. And so here we see that Jesus is the express image of his person. And when we got born again, we partook, or he imparted himself into our spirit being. Our spirit man, the real you, is now perfect. And the other two-thirds of us we're still working on. I understand that. But our spirit is perfect. The Holy Spirit lives in there. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we release the fruit of the Spirit, our spirit is in congruency, if you will, with the Holy Spirit. So it's now the Holy Spirit's, those are the attributes of him, of God, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the attributes of God, but our spirit is now perfect. And so we can now distribute or release or let go goodness and kindness. And when we do that, those things are powerful and they become what God intended them to be. When we release goodness by doing an act of goodness, God comes on the scene. It's not just us on the scene, it's God in us. And he's in every believer. I don't know why I'm going this direction, but I guess we need to hear it, or somebody listening. But we have those attributes in us, and when we release them, we look more like God. When we act on God's word, the power of the word, God has placed in his word power. And so when we act on it and release our faith for it, then the power is activated. That's how we activate God's power, his word. And here we see that it says that Jesus is the express image of his person, and he upholds how many things? All things. So all things are being held up by the word of his power. And you need to know his word is inside of you. And his word should be growing in you. And so we should be seeing more and more God-likeness. When Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right way of being and doing things. As we do things the way God does things, we begin to bring God on the scene. Or we do bring God on the scene. And now the world can see what God is like. But it's going to have to be through us, through channels of people in the earth. Okay, so that was an introduction. The word of his power. Turn with me to John's gospel. And we see right there in the first chapter of John, I have a little subheading that the authors put in here called the Eternal Word. And in chapter 1 of John, in the verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him, in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So when we bring the light to a situation, we're bringing God on the scene, and we're going to overpower the darkness that's there, because darkness can't dispel light. Light makes darkness go. We flick the lights on and darkness is gone. And you can't see darkness. You now see light. And so we are agents. We're ambassadors for Christ. We're the agents God uses in the earth to reveal himself and to demonstrate his goodness, his kindness, his grace, his mercy, his power. We're the ones. And so back to the title, the word of his power. That power of his word is active in us. It's already in there, just like in a nuclear reactor. The power is in there, but it has to, I don't understand the whole dealings with it, but once it gets to the place where the atoms are being bombarded and it heats up, it generates a lot of heat, and that's what they use to generate the electricity. So there's very much power in a nuclear. Well, inside of our spirit is the power of God, which upholds all things. So that means that there's not one situation in your life you could come across that his word couldn't drive out that needs to be driven out. His power is let's look at back to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's see what it says there about that power, about the word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The Amplified says, for the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. God's word is effective. Now, go back to what he says in John 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Jesus and the word are synonymous. Jesus is the word of God. So when you bring the word of God on the scene, you bring Jesus on the scene. When you bring Jesus on the scene, you bring the power of the word, the power of the spirit of God on the scene. And that all has to be in direct will of God the Father, because Jesus said that he never said a thing or did anything but what he heard the Father say this or do this. So we have complete congruency with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit of God. And they're inside of us. And they're here to operate through us. But we have to activate through the word, through the fruit of the Spirit that's inside of us to get any results. Okay? Turn over to Revelation for a minute. I just want you to see a few scriptures here. And this one in Revelation 19, this is another another place, it's talking about Jesus. It says he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. See, there are people that don't believe that Jesus was God. Before Jesus was Jesus, the baby Jesus, he was God the Word. He's always been with the Father. And so here we see his name is called the Word of God. And so again, when you get the word on a situation, that's where we're going here tonight. When you get the word on the situation, you've got God on the scene. In John chapter 11, we see a story here regarding Lazarus, and he had died, and we're going to pick up in we'll pick up in verse 17. So when Jesus came, he's now come to the place, and it had been 4 days. He found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days, Lazarus. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said to Jesus, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." So here we see Jesus says, "I am the resurrection." He's the Word of God, and now he's saying, "I am the resurrection." So I would submit to you, when you bring Jesus on the scene by way of the Word of God, whatever your situation can be resurrected. He says right here, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." Anything that comes across our path, Jesus said we'd have tribulation. He said we'd go through trials, but he also said we're going to the other side. When those guys were in the boat and Jesus was asleep and the storm comes up, he had given them the assignment before, go to the other side. He didn't say go halfway, a storm's going to come, sink the boat, and you're all going to drown. No, he trusted and he went. He was fast asleep. But then what did he do when he got up? After he spoke, you know, "Peace be still." And so we carry the peace of God inside of us. But do we really believe that we do? Do we actually believe that? Well, that's something we need to stay in the Word of God until we get the revelation to where we actually believe. See, we've all believed to salvation that, you know, God sent Jesus, he died for us, and he was raised up, and so believing in him, confessing with our mouth, we're saved. And that seems very easy, but everything else should be that easy. We shouldn't make it difficult, is my point. Don't make it difficult. If Jesus said he's the resurrection and you get him on the scene, then you've got resurrection power. And whether it be your finances or whether it be a marriage, it doesn't matter what it is, the power of God is on the scene. So here, I said Jesus and the Word are one, and so the Word will raise up anything that is dead. The Word will raise up anything that is dead. You say the marriage is dead, that doesn't matter to God. He can raise it up. You say the kids are too far gone their way, and you're going to give up on them, don't give up on them. Don't give up on them. You stand on the Word. Your finances, you know, you're going into bankruptcy. You've already been bankrupt before, and your finances are a mess. That does not mean God's power can't resurrect. But you might have to make some changes, because it could be the way you're living just keeps getting you into that predicament. But if you do things God's way, he will come on the scene, and he will get you out of the situation and take you to where you want to be and where he wants you to be. So I would submit to you, take the Word of God and pour it or apply it or release it onto anything that you're facing. Take the word of God. Remember, we started out that he upholds all things by the word of his power. If God's holding up all things by the word of his power, then you can hold up the things in your life by his word and the power of his word. Certainly we can raise up and hold up things that are coming against us. If he can do it with his word, so can we. And he said over in Isaiah 55, 11, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return void. It will prosper in the thing where I sent it. It will accomplish that which I desire. His word coming out of your mouth, it's just like, picture your mouth as is like a cannon releasing the power of God going into that situation. That's why the greatest power on this earth is really us and the Holy Spirit inside of us. It's not atomic weapons. It's not governments. It's the born again believer that knows their covenant rights and knows their authority and knows that they have the dunamis power of God inside of them to change and rearrange situations that need to be. We've condensed our mission statement, if you will, here, what we believe, and it's simple, that we're advancing God's kingdom through love and through power. Got to have the love, or the power is not going to work. But you got to have the power to get some things done in the spirit realm. And we live in both realms, the physical realm and the spirit realm. And we have to know how to tap into the supernatural realm, the supernatural power of God, and make it affect this world for the glory of God. When he gave Adam the assignment and gave him dominion, that's what he expected him to do. You be fruitful, you multiply, you take the vast resources I've placed in this earth. Remember, God put the gold and the silver and the diamonds and all the plutonium and the uranium. He put that all in the earth. He wants us to use it for his glory. So we don't want somebody like North Korea, who's lunatic, to get a hold of that, where they're going to be launching it. You know, God wants us to use things for his glory. And so we have learned how to use and tap into those things to produce power. And as long as they're done correctly, you know, they're safe. But God wants us to be promoting his kingdom and pushing back the kingdom of darkness, which is here. So anyway, take the word of God, pour it on, apply it, release it on anything, and it will live again. It will live again. The word, Romans chapter 4. Romans 4 and 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Amplified says he gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he's foretold and promised as if they already existed. We need to call things that be not as though they were. That's the power of God coming out of our mouth when we do that. That's the power of God. And so we want to, I encourage people to find scriptures that specifically talk about your situation and then stand on them. God said in Jeremiah 1:12, I watch over my word to perform it, to make sure it comes to pass. He said in Job 22:28, thou shalt decree and declare a thing, and it shall be established. When you decree and declare the word of God over your situation, he said he'll establish it. That means it's got to come to pass. But we have to do that how? In faith, nothing wavering. We can't go back and forth. Will he or won't he? No, we've got to be established. The way we're going to be established is by knowing what his word says. So that's why it's so important for us to get into his word. Jeremiah 17, I love this scripture. You find a very similar portion of scripture in Psalms, but in Jeremiah 17, I think it's Psalm 1 actually, but we'll look at Jeremiah 17. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Well, if we're trusting in Jesus, over in Matthew, he said, he gave the illustration of building a house on the sand versus somebody that built their house on the rock. And what he's saying is the rock is the word of God. And he says, when you build it on the rock, when the storm comes, he didn't say that, I mean, it's coming. Storms are coming. But he said that your house is going to be standing. You'll be standing when you hear God's word, get it into your heart, and then act on it. You apply it to the situation. You'll be standing. You're not going to go under. But the one that doesn't take time, the illustration on the sand is they didn't take time to put a foundation in. And we as believers need to take time to put the foundation of God's word. That's what Jesus was talking about. Put the foundation of the word of God in our hearts. And in Mark 4 and in the other scriptures where he's talking about sowing the word, he says that the one that doesn't get rooted in the heart says it doesn't produce. It's unfruitful. So if we want things producing, if we want God's word to work for us, we've got to get the roots growing in the heart. And so that's, how do we do that? We get into the word, we get into the word, we get into the word. We meditate on it like he says over in Proverbs chapter 4. You know that scripture, my son, give attention to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them. Their health to all your flesh. God's word is a healing word. Aren't you glad? I'm so thankful that my sins are forgiven, but I'm so thankful also that he didn't forget about the other two-thirds of us that aren't perfect. He's got peace for our minds. The chastisement of our peace was upon Jesus. And by the stripes he bore was for our physical healing. I'm glad he took care of all things, spirit, soul, and body. And so we entered into everlasting life when we made Jesus Lord of our life. But we could begin to partake. It's not, we're going to have everlasting life. We are in it. We're experiencing it. And it's powerful. So here, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river. It will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So he likens the one that puts his trust in God, puts his trust in the word of God. And when you do that, he's giving us an example here that it's like that tree. It's planted by the water. So when the drought comes, there's still water there, and the roots are down deep, and they're getting all the moisture that they need to stay strong. They're going to continue to be green. They're not going to turn brown and not produce any fruit. And so that's, again, likened to the word of God in our hearts, getting deeply rooted into our hearts so that we continue to produce the life of God. The world needs to see us produce things that God produces, and love and joy and peace and kindness. When we act on those things, when we release those things, then people will begin to see the nature of Christ in us. And people should. They should be asking us, why are you happy in this situation? Why aren't you fearful in this situation? I talked to somebody today, and they had gotten a bad report from the doctor. And all the doctor said is, it could be cancer. Didn't say it was. Didn't do a biopsy and say, yep. Just planted that seed. It could be cancer. Yeah, it could be cancer. But it could be a lot of other things too. And so I was talking to this gentleman and said, yeah, and it was for his spouse. He said, yep, but you know, she's getting nervous. Just because the doctor said it could be. And I told him, I said, I don't care if the doctor said it is. Whose report do you believe? Whose report do you believe? I said, turn to Isaiah 53:1. You get to choose. He said, choose life. So you can't choose the doctor's report. And he did tell me, he says, after we walked out of the office, he said, well, I'm not, he told his wife, he said, I'm not receiving that report. And so I just said, keep the word going in. He said, we are. I said, good. Keep it playing at night. Keep your eyes before it during the day, night and day. And every time that thought comes that it could be, double up on the scripture. If the word's coming in, you can't be meditating on what the doctor said. You're meditating on, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. You're meditating on, he sent his word and he healed me. You're meditating on, you know, that it's fulfilled what the prophet Isaiah said. Himself took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. So praise God, we need to keep the word going in. In Job chapter 7, chapter 14, is another illustration similar to what we just read in Jeremiah. Verse 7, for there is hope for a tree, if it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that its tender shoots will not cease. Though its root may grow old in the earth, and its stump may die in the ground, yet at the scent of water it will bud and bring forth branches like a plant. I have oak trees sprouting up in my driveway and all over my yard because last fall we had an abundance of acorns. And my grandson goes out and you know, there's some of them are this high, some of them are this high, but he can still pull them up because they haven't taken root. And you pull it up and you see the acorn is there and it's opened and there are some roots that are holding it up, but they're not strong enough that a three-year-old couldn't pull them out. And see, that's what Jesus was saying in Mark chapter 4, when the word is sown into the heart of the one on stony ground, that, you know, they receive it at first, but then when trials and persecution comes, he says they're not rooted enough. They're not rooted enough in the word, because he explained to us that God's word is the seed now that he's talking about. It can't take root just, you know, occasionally hearing the word of God. You've got to be tenacious. You've got to be diligent. He said in Hebrews 11:6 that the diligent one is the one that's going to be rewarded. So you're going to be rewarded with the success of the power of the word of God in your life when you're diligent with it. So we have to maintain our diligence. So here we saw two scriptures that referred to the one that trusts God, trusts his word, like a tree drawing the water. And the water is a representation of God's word. Over in Ephesians, I believe it is chapter 6. Turn with me there. It talks about Ephesians 5. He says, husbands, in verse 25, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. Boy, there's a big one for husbands. And he gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. So I like to think of it this way. When I'm pouring the word out, I'm pouring water onto my situation, I'm pouring God's word onto it. So how many have planted flowers this year or have flower gardens that have come up? Do we just plant it? I mean, do we just water it in April and then we don't do a thing the rest? No, if we don't get rain from the sky, you're going to be out there and you watch over it, don't you? You watch to see if it's beginning to wilt, beginning to brown, beginning to fall, and you got to get the word or you got to get the water on it. So in your situation, might be a financial situation, keep God's word on that. He doesn't promise that everybody's a millionaire. He promises he'll prosper us. He doesn't promise you that he'll take care of it instantly. But where's your heart with the word? Is it rooted? You see, that rooting, these trees that started growing up in my yard, it's been since last fall, and here we are in June. It's been all those months that the seed's been working. It's got the DNA in it to grow. It's doing what it's supposed to, but it's not a big tree to where we can't move it by our hands. But I tell you what, in 3-4 years, when that thing's this high, man isn't going to be just pulling that thing out of the ground. It's getting the roots in the ground. The root system is being developed. I gave an illustration, or I read a story about the bamboo. There's a Chinese bamboo tree, and for the first 5 years, nothing happens. Nothing happens to the visible eye. You don't see anything break through the ground. In the sixth year, It comes through the ground, and in 90 days, it will grow 90 feet. It grows a foot a day. And I watched a time lapse, just one day at a time, and that thing is just amazing. But all those first 5 years, bamboo, I guess, you don't get it out of the ground when that stuff gets going. It goes underground. And so the root system is like crazy. That's what we have to be tenacious with God's word to get our root system. Our root system needs to be intense. It needs to be far reaching. So here we see in Ephesians that the water again is representation of the word of God. So here, I just gave you an example, somebody I talked to today, but if the doctor says something's dead in your body, put the word on it. You don't have to, even if somebody, who's trying to, conceive and have a baby, just because they said, well, we don't know what's wrong and you just can't do it, put God's word on it. Put God's word on it. He said he'd bless the fruit of a woman's womb. That means that you'll conceive and have children if you want them. Now, some people, well, we won't go there. turn to Joshua. We're almost done here. Went to Happy Cow the other day, and I asked the gals, I said, why is the cow happy? They didn't know. Oh, Joshua chapter 1, let's look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it. That means mutter on it. That means go over it and over it. Just like you're cramming for a final in college, The people stay up all night long, and do the coffee thing all night long or whatever, just to stay awake, to cram for that thing because they want to meditate on it so that it'll be in their mind when they take that test. I love God's, when he gave the test of choosing life or death, he said choose life. Didn't have to cram for that one. He says that you might observe to do according to all that is written. See, you have to be a doer of the word. It's not enough to just, read the word, but now we've got to apply it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You know that right there says we have a responsibility if we're going to prosper. We can't just pray about it all the time and say, God, just prosper me. No, he says right here that for then you will make your way prosperous. What did he say? Meditate on his word. You got to get his word activated in you. And then what happens? You begin to, as you become more familiar with the word, you're becoming familiar with the person of God, the person of Christ. And now you're going to hear his voice. You're training your ears, your spiritual ears, to hear his voice. Now when he says something in the spirit realm, you're going to pick up on it. He might give you an idea. And you can take that idea and run with it. And that will prosper you. But you've got to put in the work to get to that place. All right. Already looked at Proverbs chapter 4. Let's just go over to John chapter 6. We started in John. Actually, we started in Hebrews, but we went right to John after that. John chapter 6. And verse 63, Jesus was speaking here. He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. The words that Jesus speaks, the word that comes forth from the word of God is life. We saw that over in Proverbs chapter 4. They're life unto those that find them. You have to find the word of God. You have to get the word of God. That's why we teach here. We'll give you the scriptures, but you can't just say, well, I had nice service and yeah, it was a nice word, but now you've got to do something with it. You've got to meditate on that. You've got to get that into your heart. You've got to keep it before your eyes. And when you do, the power that upholds all things, the very power that raised Jesus from the dead, is inside of us. And that's how we activate it, is by believing, trusting in the word, and then acting on it. That leper that didn't know if it was Jesus' will, he said, I know you can heal me, but I don't know if it's your will. And Jesus said, I'm willing, be healed. Well, God's willing that his word operates and works for you and produces results. That's what we're going to be talking about on Sunday, is producing fruit, producing results based on his word, doing it his way. Seek first the kingdom of God and his right way of doing things, and all the other things will what? Be added unto you. Why don't you stand with me? We'll close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you watch over it to perform it. We thank you it doesn't return void to you, but that it will accomplish what you desire. And so, Father, when we have that confidence, and when we know and when we come before you and ask anything according to your will, we know that we'll have those things that we ask of. So, Father, we just thank you for the word of God that's gone forth tonight into the good ground of the hearts here tonight. I pray that everybody has hearing ears to hear and hearts to receive your word, and that it would grow up and produce in their lives. So we thank you for it. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all for coming.